Welcome to the Kingdom Truth Podcast. On our podcast, we teach the good news of Jesus Christ and biblical principles that empower all people with real-life, timeless applications. I am your host, Bible teacher, Yolanda Tyler. Well, praise the name of the Lord, everybody. We are excited about God's Word on this day. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word, for faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We pray for every listener that they will hear your word and receive your word in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to continue our sermon series titled, The True Value of Knowing Christ. I will be reading in your hearing from the New American Standard Version of the Bible, Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 10. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. We learned from our previous lessons that in order to understand the true value of knowing Christ, first of all, we must conduct an honest spiritual assessment. Secondly, we must be willing to give up everything. Number three, we must cultivate a deep, intimate relationship with Christ. Fourthly, we must take out the garbage. Number five, we must remember Christ is our ultimate gain. Our sixth principle is we must put an end to self-righteousness. And number seven, we must receive God's righteousness. Now let's continue. In Philippians 3, verse 10, the Bible says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to death. And I'd like to read the NIV version. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. The term power in this text in the Greek is dunamis, and it means inherent power, mighty, or strength. The term resurrection in Greek is anastasis, and it literally means to stand up again or raise to life again. So then our next biblical principle in this lesson is in order to understand the true value of knowing Christ is there is a mutual sharing. We share in Christ's resurrection power, the same power, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. That is some kind of power. It is operative in every true believer in Christ. The Apostle Paul first experienced Christ's resurrection power upon conversion. The Holy Spirit quickened his dead body spiritually and made him alive to Christ. The Bible confirms this in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. And all believers have the Holy Spirit's power indwelling, and it gives life to our mortal bodies and we too experience Christ's resurrection power living inside of us. And personally, I don't know about you, but like the songwriter wrote, I need the Holy Ghost power to help me to do right when I would do wrong. I know I cannot do anything on my own. The Spirit's power helps me to live a holy, righteous life. The Apostle Paul stood for holiness and for righteousness. He took a stand when Peter and the other leaders would not take a stand. When they turned their backs on the Gentile Christians in Galatia and refused to eat with them, the Apostle Paul took a stand. He never compromised the truth of the gospel after he was saved and delivered. He was not pretentious like some believers today. He was delivered for real. Paul was serious about his relationship with the Lord, and he feared God. The Lord moved mightily in the life of the Apostle Paul. That is the resurrection power of Christ that was working in him and through him. That is something no one can conjure up in their minds or in their intellect. It is a power that arises from within. The Apostle Paul personally wanted to know and share in Christ's resurrection power. He considered himself dead to sin. This is how we live the life of Christ. We live in victory over sin. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verses 11 to 14, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. We yield ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and to his resurrection power. He gives us the power to walk right. And before conversion, the Apostle Paul had a form of religion and no power. It was a lifeless, dead religion. He was relying and trusting in his fleshly accomplishments and successes. The Bible tells us that the flesh profits nothing. And when Paul trusted and believed on the Lord Jesus, he gave it all up. He gave up everything in exchange for sharing and partnering with Jesus Christ. Daily, he lived as a yielded vessel. Daily, he was becoming more and more like Jesus, and he was committed to a life of service. And while incarcerated, the Apostle Paul depended and relied on the Spirit's power. He wrote many of the epistles under the inspiration of God's Spirit. He fulfilled the call on his life regardless of his circumstances. Paul had every reason to quit and give up, but he did not. He continued to minister to those who visited him, and he talked to the Lord all the time on behalf of the saints. And because of Christ's resurrection power living on the inside, he was able to rise above the circumstances in his life. He rose above the political corruptions and socioeconomic pressures. He rose above the cultural, the religious, and the social pressures and challenges of his day. And even in our lives, we are able to rise above the circumstances and the difficult challenges. It is the same resurrection power of Christ that is on the inside of us. And we live it out on a daily basis. It causes hope to come alive in our hearts. Because when we look around at the world today, where it seems like there is no hope, we are reminded Jesus is alive and well, and he is our living hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 declares, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." When our dreams seem to have died, it is the power of the risen Christ on the inside that rises up and raises our dreams back to life again. When the enemy rears his ugly head and tries to drain the life out of our marriages, it is the power of the risen Christ that causes our marriages to come back to life again. When our careers come to a dead end, or our ministries and some churches come to a standstill and are not growing, it is the resurrection power of Christ that raises up dead things back to life again. And when we take a stand and boldly witness to others in our sphere of influence about the love of Christ, it is the resurrection power of Jesus Christ that changes our communities and brings them back to life again. That is what understanding the true value of Christ is all about. And as we continue, there is not only a sharing in Christ's resurrection power, we also share in his sufferings. Suffering was a part of the Apostle Paul's life in Christ, and it is a part of our lives. There is no way of escaping it. The Apostle Paul suffered much persecution because of the gospel. And in our foundational text, Philippians 3:10, the term fellowship in Greek is koinonia, which means partnership, social intercourse, or to communicate. The term sufferings in Greek is pathema, and it means suffering, affliction, or affection, or that which one suffers or has suffered. In the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 16, after Paul's knowledge of the risen Lord, the Lord says to Ananias, "For I will show him," referring to Paul, "how much he must suffer for my name's sake." Paul was initially, before his conversion, exterminating the Christian message and the name of Jesus Christ. But when it was all said and done, he was suffering for proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. And we too, in this life as Christians, are going to suffer for our faith in Jesus Christ. Here's what the Apostle Peter said, "But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." 1 Peter 4:13. The Apostle Paul saw suffering for Christ as a privilege. He didn't run from it. As a servant of Christ, he voluntarily surrendered. He knew it all came with his life's call, purpose, and destiny. And through it all, the Lord gave the Apostle Paul the strength and the power to endure suffering. He reminds the saints at Philippi concerning suffering. "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake." That's Philippians 1:29. The Apostle Peter also ministered to the saints in the five Roman provinces in Asia Minor concerning suffering. "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps." 1 Peter 2:21. And when we look at the Old Testament, one of the most compelling stories of one of God's servants suffering is his servant Job. The Bible says Job lost his fortune, his family, his possessions, his health, and his wealth. He suffered great losses. But when it was all said and done, Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." His faith and confidence were in the Most High God. And I don't know about you, but I trust God. And I want to know the fellowship of Christ's sufferings, and I want to enter into it. I have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Jesus Christ is my reward. I am chasing after him, whether it be good times or difficult, painful times. We all have had our share of both. And if you have not experienced the painful times, just keep on living. We will experience suffering. Everything is not all hunky-dory after you get saved. If anything, that is when the devil attacks us the most, because now you are a threat to the kingdom of darkness. So then, suffering ought not come as a shock to us. We cannot know the Lord like we ought to unless we share in his sufferings. And yes, suffering causes pain, anguish, distress, and stress. Mother Teresa was once quoted saying, "Pain and suffering have come into your life, but remember, pain, sorrow, suffering are but the kiss of Jesus, a sign that you have come so close to him that he can kiss you." It is during our suffering that we can enjoy a sweet fellowship with Jesus Christ. He is a partner and companion in our sufferings. We don't have to go through it alone. And when we understand the true value of knowing Christ and the true treasures we have in Christ, we don't mind sharing in his suffering. And regardless of how intense the pain is, the Lord provides comfort for us. And as the Lord comforts us, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to comfort others in their pain and suffering. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 to 4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." The Lord is with us. The sad thing is, so many times, some of us do not draw closer to the Lord until there's suffering, until all hell breaks loose. Then we become prayer warriors. Then we read our Bibles and spend quality time with the Lord. But we must deepen our theology about God and know who he is in our lives before the trials and before the suffering. And we must learn to trust the Lord to see us through. Dr. John M. Perkins writes, "God doesn't intend your life to be free of suffering. Instead, he wants us to trust him in the midst of it and discover the unexpected joys that trials can produce." The Apostle Paul trusted the Lord. He had confidence in the Lord to turn his situation around and to see him through. He was not only suffering for the sake of Christ, but he looked forward to experiencing the glory after the suffering. "For I reckon the sufferings of this present are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And all of us know that our loving Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, suffered way beyond any suffering that we know. He was the greatest sufferer of all. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 3-5, the Bible says, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. God allows the suffering, the trials, the pain, and difficulties in our lives. When we suffer, he suffers. It is his sovereign work of grace. And when we experience suffering, the Lord's desire is for us to surrender to his sovereignty. And yes, I agree, it does not feel good, but all things work together for our greater good and for God's glory, according to Romans 8:28. And one thing we all know for sure is that we learn our best lessons in life during difficult times and times of suffering. And everything we go through, whether good or bad, the Lord uses it all for his glory. He does not waste anything. It is part of our spiritual development process that he uses to conform us to his image. And with that being said, in order to understand the true value of knowing Christ, there is a mutual sharing in Christ's resurrection, power, and in his sufferings. Our foundational text, Philippians 3:10, goes on to say, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death. There's also a mutual sharing in Christ's death. The term conformed in this text in Greek is sumorphizo. It means to render like or to assimilate or to receive the same form as. It also means literally to bring to the same form with some other person. This term appears only one time in this verse in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul wanted to be like his Lord and Savior in all with respect to his death. He knew it meant dying to self, and he had to empty himself as Jesus emptied himself. The Apostle Paul did not want to have any other life but to share in that experience of becoming like Jesus at any cost. He knew what it meant to be united with Christ. He knew the more he personally and intimately shared in Christ's sufferings, the more and more he would conform to Jesus's likeness. And the truth of the matter is, when Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul died. You died. In him, I died. Every believer died. Romans 6:3 declares, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? And it is in a spirit of humility, servanthood, and submission that we willingly deny self, that we die to selfishness and self-centeredness, and we allow Jesus Christ to take his abode and to sit on the throne of our hearts. Christ gives us new passions and new desires. And as Jesus submitted to the will of the Father and willingly went to the cross and died, we willingly die to our will, to our own independence, in exchange for the will of the Father. We have a heart to do the Lord's will. Jesus is our reward and our treasure. And it is by virtue of the cross that we become to look like him. Galatians 2:20 declares, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Jesus died in our place on that old rugged cross. And when he died, in him, all believers die. And in order to understand the true value of knowing Christ, We must share in his death. Now let's look at some practical applications for our lesson. If you are going through a difficult time, make a commitment to draw closer to the Lord by daily investing more time in the Word of God, prayer, studying the Scriptures, and praise and worship. Number two, make a decision to thank God and be grateful for the blessings in your life, and then record them in a notebook. Number three, read, meditate, and memorize the Scriptures pertaining to this lesson. Romans chapter 8, verse 11, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13, and Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, and ask the Holy Spirit to interpret the Word of God to you. And number four, connect with the small church group, either in person or online, to share with other believers who can encourage you and pray for you. And you might ask Bible teacher Tyler, who is this Jesus? Well, the Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for salvation that's taking place all around the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Kingdom Truth Podcast with Bible teacher Yolanda Tyler. Please subscribe to our podcast so you will know when the next episode is published. To hear more biblical teachings and give to support the ministry, please visit our website at www.thekingdomtruth.org. That is www.thekingdomtruth.org. God bless you. Until we meet again.